Unsolved Mysteries. An old saying is, dead men tell no tales. Nothing could be farther from the truth. In the United States alone, there are several cases on record in which the police, after finding no clue upon which to work, have been led directly to the murderer by a force which, for want of a better name, we call supernatural. Washington Square, an old residential district which has stood still and aloof as the rest of the city has rushed on in the mad whirl of modernism. The houses still have iron railings before them. The street lamps are few and far between. The causeway is cobbled, uneven and hard to walk on. Not a house but has its five or six steps leading up to the front door. And pull bells have not yet been replaced by the shrill ringing electric bells. A soft snow falls, softening the harsh outlines of the buildings, sidewalk and street. Parking lawn and these are all one, a wavy blanket of glistening white. A light shows in number 21, where Jack Hunter addresses a strange company of guests. Now, everyone please make yourselves as comfortable as possible. Cigarettes in that lacquer box, cigars in the humidor. You'll find drinks to your taste in that cabinet. I'm going to stand here, if you don't mind, and explain this, well, rather unusual situation.
I've simply been on pins and needles ever since I received your letter.
Yes, I can believe that. Putting it as simply as possible, every one of you, ladies and gentlemen, has at some time or another lived in this house. Sometime during the past 32 years.
Well, I lived here in 1911, for exactly four nights.
Well, that's one night longer than I would stay. I insisted that George move me out the third night. I couldn't stand it.
I believe that I am right in assuming that each and every one of us has had the same experience.
I lived here one whole year, so possibly I did experience a little more than the rest of you.
Yes, Mr. Strange. According to my records, you have lived longer in the house than anyone else. Suppose you summarize.
Well, the first night I slept here, nothing happened. But the second night, I woke with that strange feeling that somebody, something was in the room. I was about to turn up the light when I came to a realization that it wasn't necessary, although it was quite dark. I could see figures. They were ranged along the sides of my bed, then across the bottom. I couldn't tell about the top because, frankly, I was too frightened to move.
That's just exactly what happened to me.
I saw them the first night. They just stood there and stared and stared. They never said a word, and I couldn't.
That was my experience, and it happened no less than 103 times in one year. Gradually, I got used to them. Used to speculate to myself that some of them are more dense, more material than others. Especially one who very often came by herself, a woman.
May I interrupt?
Certainly.
The woman is the key to the whole problem. May I take the story from there?
Why, yes, of course. Why, certainly.
Almost any minute now, Mr. Crawford will arrive. He wrote to me and said that he had the solution to this visitation and that he'd be here tonight. Until he arrived, I'll tell you about the woman. It was 1909. I lived about a mile and a half from here. And one morning, snowing, wintry as could be, I left the house to go downtown to my office. I was walking along past Cortlandt Park,
And the officer on the beat, Pat O'Malley.
Good morning to you, sir. Yeah, and it's a right brisk morning that it is, Mr. Hunter.
Oh, yes, Pat. Like the old days when we were kids going to school.
Yes, sir. Them were the days. We never appreciate them till we have to be up and going in the mornings and off to work. Why, sir? Now, what are you looking at?
Look, Pat, over in the park. Doesn't that look like the outline of a body there under the snow?
Sure, and that it does, sir. And we'll be after going and satisfying ourselves that everything is all right.
Yeah, if we can open the gate. I'll bet it's frozen stiff in this cold.
Then we'll just have to climb the rail, and that we will. Ah, sure now, and don't you be spoiling them good gloves of yours, Mr. Hunter. I'll open them gates.
Yeah, they're opening.
Oh, well, whatever it is, it must have lain there all night. There's not a trace of footprints or anything else.
Yes, Pat, and now that I'm close to it, it looks more like a body than ever.
Well, we'll soon be after finding out that we will. All wet and sticky.
And red. He's been murdered, Pat.
And that's no lie. For never yet did anybody stab themselves in the small of the back like this one's been stabbed. Well, I'll call the patrol and we'll take her to the morgue.
I don't know if any of you remember the affair.
I do. There never was a trace of the murderer or anything. The papers were full of it. Called it Philadelphia's Unsolved Mystery.
Correct. I appeared at the inquest. But today, no one but myself knows any more than they did then.
You say no one but yourself?
Yes. I moved from where I was living about 5 years later and came to live here. The first night, I went to bed dead tired from all the hustle of moving. And just as soon as I'd set my alarm clock, I fell sound asleep.
Midnight. The bedroom fills with ghostly, shadowy shapes. Wisps of an intangible something formed in the likeness of human forms. Transparent. Horribly transparent. They range themselves about the bed. And in ghastly silence, they stare down upon the man, Jack Hunter, lying there. Jack stirs uneasily in his sleep, turns and tosses, twists himself about, and opens his eyes. Frozen with fear, he lies staring with wide eyes. His lips form words, questions, but nothing that he can do, no effort that he can make, will force words out. Another shape enters the room. A woman. Those shadowy nothings about the bed look at the newcomer, and one by one they melt into nothingness. The woman advances to the bed.
You can help me.
What? What is that you said?
You can help me. I was murdered. I cannot rest until my murderer is known.
A woman. A murdered woman I found in the park.
Yes. You found me in the park. You know my murderer.
I know your murderer?
Yes. Come with me. Follow me to the living room. You will help me. You will let me rest.
Jack Hunter follows the woman through the archway into the living room. He stops before the grand piano, turns her ghastly eyes upon him, and then pointing to a portrait, his wife's portrait.
He murdered me.
Jack claps his hands to his eyes, rocks to and fro, and with a crash falls to the floor in a dead faint.
It was almost daylight when I came to. I was pretty groggy.
Oh, what a horrible experience. To find your wife accused of murder.
The horrible part of it was true.
What? You can't.
Yes. My wife had been in a private institution for the violently insane for years. She escaped. I knew nothing about her escape, but I investigated. She returned to the institution 2 days later. Her clothes, bloodstains. And the institution management glad to get her back so easily. Never said a word.
But why? Why in the name of heaven has all this happened in this house? With the rest of us, we've never done anything for which we should be haunted. Not by one ghost, but by dozens.
I think that ring at the doorbell is the answer we're seeking.
Mr. Crawford?
Yes, Mr. Crawford. I'll go and let him in. Make yourselves comfortable.
I'll be damned if I know what to make of it.
No lie. I'm just as puzzled as I was when I lived here.
Well, we'll see what Crawford has to say.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Crawford.
How do you do? I have told them, Mr. Crawford, the story today.
About your wife?
Everything.
In order to understand this, you must realize that Washington Square is very much changed from what it was back in the 80s. Over where the hotel stands today is where the old courthouse used to be. Down there where the gasoline station stands used to be old Meeker's stables. The jail used to stand where the hotel stands now.
But this house, that's what we want to know.
Yes. I've been on pins and needles. I still am.
This house used to be the morgue.
After you've heard from your sponsor, a solution to the Washington Square mystery will be given. Gentlemen, the solution for which you have been waiting.
You said, Mr. Crawford, that this house used to be the morgue?
Yes, I did.
But that still doesn't explain it.
It does, as far as I'm concerned.
You see, when you begin dealing with the mysterious realm beyond the practical and concrete things of life, things that can be weighed, seen, felt, and otherwise measured, you start dealing with situations that can only be investigated by comparison.
What do you mean by comparison?
Comparisons of happenings of a like nature. Comparisons with the experiences of thousands of reputable people who have testified to similar experiences.
You mean that if someone is emotionally upset in a certain house, the imprint of that emotion will be left in the house, almost like a photograph?
That is the claim of many.
Even if people know nothing of what has happened?
Yes. Have you ever walked into a house and had an unexplainable feeling of dislike for the place?
Why, yes, of course.
What causes it? Well, there are many people who say it's an invisible influence left by the previous occupants or previous happenings. It is easy to imagine the heartbreaking scenes in this morgue, the air of gloom, the constant stream of people walking through this building, with nothing in their mind but the identification of persons who have been murdered or otherwise met violent death.
Then these things which we saw and heard are... Well, our own sensitive natures becoming aware of the, what you call, invisible photographs of previous happenings.
Yes, that is a theory advanced. In that state between sleeping and waking, these previous happenings took on an almost tangible form. And when you came back to consciousness, fully aware of what had happened and fully convinced that you had been quite awake the whole time...